Ladies and gentlemen, on this week's edition of Rapidly Rotating Records, we've secretly replaced our usual theme song of Avalon by Red Nichols and his Five Pennies with a new version by Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks. Let's see if anyone notices the difference. Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records number 1283, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this week's show, we'll introduce you to Professor Kellogg, have a charming segment, an ideal segment, and a wasteful segment, and we'll head to the rooftop. But first, you're probably wondering about that opening theme song. Normally, we start off with Red Nichols and his Five Pennies and their 1928 recording of Avalon. But in the mail this past week, I received the latest releases from Rivermont Records. The bundle includes three new 12-inch 78 RPM records in 180-gram cherry red translucent vinyl. One is by the Brussels, Belgium-based ensemble Sonico, bringing to life vintage arrangements of innovative tangos transcribed from original 78 RPM discs. The Peacherine Ragtime Society Orchestra's disc presents five dazzling performances of ragtime-era rarities, including Slidus Trombonus, a trombone comedy featuring Peacherine's trombonist Corey Sansolo. But to introduce tonight's Rapidly Rotating Records show, you heard a bit of one of the four tracks on the disc by Vince Giordano and the Nighthawks, delighting audiences with thrilling hot jazz and dance music of the 1920s and 30s for 50 years. These records have been pressed in a limited edition of just 500 copies each, and when they're gone, they're gone. Don't have a 78-capable turntable? Well, all three are also available as digital downloads, so you have no excuse not to head over to rivermontrecords.com to check them out. That's rivermontrecords.com. And now, on with this show. Back on the January 26th show, I played Narcissus, performed by perhaps the greatest bird imitator of them all, Charles Kellogg. The name of another Kellogg was quickly brought to my attention by listener Alan in New York, that of Paul Kellogg, no relation, professor of ornithology and biological acoustics at Cornell University. Paul Kellogg was best known for his work in recording and analyzing bird songs and other natural sounds, and for nearly 30 years he was heard on his weekly radio program, Know Your Birds, over WHCU. The Cornell Lab of Ornithology was started by Professor Arthur A. Allen, better known as Doc, in 1915, and he, Professor Kellogg, and Albert Brand get most of the credit for the development of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology into the thriving conservation organization it is today. But, of course, they had lots of help, particularly from Peter Keene. In 1928, Peter Keene registered at Cornell in the Department of Ornithology under Doc Allen and became fully involved in recording bird songs. In 1929, he visited New York's Radio City Music Hall and noticed workers installing dish-shaped devices called parabolic reflectors around microphones in the balcony, which could increase a microphone's power hundreds of times, as well as pinpointing sounds. He realized that these reflectors could help capture bird sounds in the wild, and it was he and Paul Kellogg who built the very first parabolic reflector for field recording natural sounds. Peter Kane is a relative of my listener Alan, so I wanted to help make sure he gets his due credit. You can find out all about the Cornell Lab of Ornithology at birds.cornell.edu. And for this segment, we've got some rapidly rotating records having to do not with birds, but with sounds.
Of a champagne cork, in the ringing of the wedding bells, in the crackle of a five-pound note, each little sound is sweet as music. Okay for sound. When you hear the favorite winds, when the doctor says it's twins, now don't say that sounds okay, say okay for sound.
Sounds right, or when it listens wrong, we like to hear a funny joke or chirp a catchy song. But greater still is our delight if when our funds are slack, someone who's borrowed 20 bucks says, now I'll pay you back. It sounds good to me, it sounds good to me, and with me I think you'll agree. If I'm right in my guess, let me know, answer yes. Well, that sounds good to me. If you should take your best girl out, it's wise to make a front. You may be Mr. Tightwad, but to treat the proper stunt. You loosen up if she is dry when champagne signs appear. But if she shakes her head and says, why, all I want is beer. It sounds good to me, it sounds good to me. And with me, I think you'll agree. If I'm right in my guess, let me know, answer yes. Well, that sounds good, it sounds good to me. If you are in a foreign land and far from friends or dear, a mighty lonesome feeling sort of chokes and brings a tear. But when some big brass band strikes up the old red, white, and blue, I know darn well you'll give one yell for Yankee Doodle-Doo. It sounds good to me, it sounds good to me, and with me I think you'll agree. If I'm right in my guess, let me know and say yes.
Yes!
Thank you. Well, that sounds good, it sounds good to me.
For this segment about sound, there you have Sounds of Jazz, the theme song of Alexander Svassman and his jazz orchestra. That recording was made by the Soviet Union's All-Union Recording Studio in Moscow around 1938. Alexander, or Sasha Svassman, was born in 1906 and graduated from the Moscow Conservatory in 1930, thinking about a career as a concert pianist, playing the challenging works of the Russian masters. But Sasha had heard a performance by Frank Withers' Jazz King Sextet with Sidney Bechet in Moscow in 1926, which piqued his interest in jazz, and he formed an octet called AMA Jazz. In 1928, the group was heard on the radio and made Russia's first domestic jazz phonograph record, with Vincent Heumann's Hallelujah on one side and Harry Warren's Seminole on the other. Svassman headed the jazz orchestra of the All-Union Radio Committee until 1946, when Western music was banned. A few years later, Svassman benefited from the Khrushchev thaw and composed, performed, and directed jazz orchestras until his death from a heart attack in 1971. Before Sounds of Jazz was Fred Dupre, and It Sounds Good to Me, from Indestructible Cylinder number 1252, recorded in 1910. And Fred may get his own segment when his birthday rolls around in September. We started the set with Jack Cooper, backed by Ambrose and his orchestra, with OK for Sound, written by Jimmy Kennedy and Michael Carr. Decca F-6048 was recorded August 11th, 1937. I'm Glenn Robison, and you and I are listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. In Fred Rich's birthday segment on the February 2nd show, I ran out of time to play Wasting My Love on You. Well, here it is with some other rapidly rotating records about waste, which are certainly not a waste.
I'm in love with someone who doesn't love me. That's why I'm bluer than blue. Wasting my time, wasting my love on you. Just you. I am like a love boat that's sailing the sea without any captain or crew. Wasting my time, wasting my love on you. Boo. If I could forget your kiss, I'd dismiss you from my memory. But the rapture of your charms and those arms that used to thrill haunt me still. I'm forever dreaming of what used to be. My heart is breaking in two. Wasting my time, wasting my love on you. Thank you.
Listen, time's wasting, honey dear. Time's a wasting, listen here. Be dry and realize, sympathize with me. Our time's wasting, turtle dove. Time's a wasting without your love. Just as true as stars above. You're all I'm thinking of. Oh, you're like a lighted flame flickers near my heart. And I felt that very way right on from the start. Oh, time's wasting. Look on here. Our time's wasting. Come on, dear. Let's get together. Have no fear. Cause time's wasting, dear.
Johnny Brown's complaining lately that he's feeling blue. He don't know what to do, and there's a reason too. He has an infant brother who the girls all idolize. And John's in a whirl, for he can't get a girl. Any wonder that he cries. When I see all the lovin' they waste on babies, oh, why did I grow up at all? Believe me, they grieve me, how kisses they waste. And look, I'm not a cripple, but I don't get a taste. They go wild, simply wild, over some little baby, and pass up a healthy guy like me. They take a tiny infant on their laps to play. I wish I was a baby and knew what I know today. When I see all the lovin' they waste on babies, I long for the cradle again. I see all the lovin' they waste on babies. Oh, why did I grow up at all? When babes fall, the maids all start rubbing his spine. But I must buy some liniment each time I hurt mine. They go wild, simply wild, over some little baby, and pass up a healthy guy like me. They send the babe a nurse as soon as he gets ill. The only thing they send me is a great big doctor bill. When I see all the lovin' they waste on babies, I long for the cradle again.
There you have a very late recording by Billy Murray with Harry's Tavern Band of When I See All the Love They Waste on Babies, I Long for the Cradle Again, written by Sam Ward, Arthur Johnston, and Hopwood DeRob. I looked, but unfortunately I couldn't find anything else written by Hopwood DeRob. Bluebird B-11134 was recorded February 19th, 1941. The Harry of Harry's Tavern Band was Harry Hardin, whose other bands included Happy Harry Hardin and his orchestra and Happy Harry Hardin's Musette Orchestra. Actually, Harry Hardin was the stage name of Czech bandleader David Nina Stoljarovic, born in 1904. He made a number of recordings in Czechoslovakia before coming to the U.S. just before World War II. And Harry will be getting his own birthday segment in November. Before that, the Harlem Hamfats with Time's a-Wastin' from Decca 7454, made October 6, 1937, the label of which credits Hamfoot Ham with the vocal refrain. The Harlem Hamfats was a group put together by talent scout Mayo Williams, nicknamed Ink. Hamfat is a disparaging term meaning an indifferent musician, but this group was all but indifferent. It consisted of brothers Joe and Charlie McCoy, leader Herb Morand, who wrote Time's a-Wastin', Odell Rand, John Lindsay, Horace Malcolm, Perlis Williams, and Freddie Flynn. And they made dozens of recordings between 1936 and 1944. We started that wasteful segment with Fred Rich under the pseudonym Chester Layton and his sophomores with Wasting My Love on You, composed by Harry Warren. The Edgar Leslie lyrics were sung September 17, 1930, by Dick Robertson on Harmony 1220-H. A couple of weeks later, Rich recorded it under his own name on the Columbia label, with vocalist Paul Small. These next two segments are dedicated to listener Richard in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Richard is our grandson-in-law's grandfather, and I don't think he'd mind my letting you know that he just turned 95 years of age and is doing remarkably well. During our visit over the holidays, Richard told me the titles of a couple of his favorite songs, and they will start off the next two segments.
Will I ever find the girl in my mind, the girl who is my ideal? Maybe she's a dream, and yet she might be just around the corner looking for me. Will I recognize the light in her eyes that no other eyes reveal? Or will I pass her by and never even know that she's my ideal? I know the woman of my heart cannot be ordered à la carte, but will she always be only a fantasy? The girl in my mind, the girl with my ideal. Maybe she's a dream, and yet she might be just around the corner looking for me. Will I recognize a light in her eyes that no other eyes reveal? Although she may be late, I trust in fate, and so I wait for my ideal, my ideal. Thank you.
and so respectable. I'm quite delectable. I know I fell just head over heels in love with someone who is exactly my ideal. A plain girl and so commendable. My love's unendable. I never knew that heavenly splendor could surrender in one so tender, my ideal. So sweet and quaint, an angel from out the sky. And though she is a saint, the devil is in her eyes. She is so charming and very sensible and indispensable. I really feel that she'll be my sweetheart, for I love her because she is my ideal. Thank you.
The expression beau ideal was used in the early 1890s to describe anything that had caught the public fancy. In 1893, John Philip Sousa wrote the Beau Ideal March. An inscription on the original sheet music indicates that the Beau Ideal in the title referred to a newly formed organization called the National League of Musicians of the United States. There were 3 cylinder recordings made of Beau Ideal, all before 1900, by Sousa's Grand Concert Band, the Edison Grand Concert Band, and Baldwin's Cadet Band of Boston. Unfortunately, they're not broadcast quality, but the tune deserves to be heard more, so I kind of broke the rules and played a contemporary recording of Beau Ideal by the United States Air Force Heritage of America Band, conducted by Lowell Graham. Beau Ideal is also a 1931 RKO radio picture directed by Herbert Brennan, loosely inspired by the adventure novel of the same name. We started that ideal set with the unmistakable Maurice Chevalier and My Ideal, heard in the Paramount picture Playboy of Paris. This commercial recording on Victor 22542-B was made August 15, 1930. My Ideal was composed by Newell Chase and Richard A. Whiting, with the lyrics by Leo Robin. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. This and all of our previous shows are also available 24/7, on demand, anytime at all, online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. One of Richard's other favorite songs is going to start off this charming segment.
Lord! same look that she gave when he
can be. I've just lost my head over you. Oh, tell me, please do, that you love me too. Gee, but you're charming and oh so divine. Please say that you will be mine. You're such a pretty picture to see. You're charming to me. Thank you.
Jerry Blaine and his Streamline Rhythm with Snake Charmer, written by Leonard Whitcup and Teddy Powell. That's from Bluebird 7228, recorded in New York on October 15, 1937. It's a ways off, but Jerry Blaine will be getting his own segment on the January 4, 2026 show. Before Jerry Blaine was Charming to Me, written by Arthur Fields and Fred Hall. There was a jumble of issues of both takes of this March 19, 1931 recording. We heard Velvet Tone 2343, credited to Jerry Mason and his Californians, with a vocal by Marvin Young. Well, Marvin Young is clearly a pseudonym for Arthur Fields. We started off that charming set with the ballad, Believe Me If All Those Endearing Young Charms, on Columbia 33124-F, in June of 1936, issued for the Irish market. The vocalist was Irish tenor George O'Brien, and you'll be hearing more from him next month. Richard, I hope you enjoyed those two segments, and best wishes on your march toward becoming a centenarian. The idea of a rooftop garden started in 1463 as a landscape design commissioned by Pope Pius II. Prior to the 1880s, the only thing that hung out on urban roofs was wet laundry. Rudolf Aronson, a composer and producer, had seen garden theaters in Europe, but there was no land available for them in Manhattan. In 1893, Aronson was building the Casino Theater at 39th and Broadway when he got the idea to put a garden, cafe, and stage atop the building. And the idea caught on. Before the days of air conditioning, Broadway theaters were closed during the summer because of the heat, but roof gardens kept revenue coming in. The 1890 version of Madison Square Garden got its name from the rooftop garden and theater atop the building, and by 1906 there were dozens of rooftop restaurants in Manhattan. Of course, in addition to ambiance, food, and drink, there was entertainment. And here are a couple of examples.
The only place that I can find sympathy is in the dictionary. No one to get if I'm gloomy. No one who's anything to me. Oh dear, and they hear my plea. I put the cat out at three. She come back with company, but bring back no one to love.
The Bienville Hotel in New Orleans was built in 1917 by the Grunewald family. Designed by Toledano, Wogan, and Bernard, it featured a popular roof garden where Monk Hazel and his Bienville Roof Orchestra entertained in the late 1920s. And we just heard one of their recordings, Get With It, written by Sidney Arredon. That's from Brunswick 4182, recorded in November or December of 1928. I don't know where Monk Hazel was that day, but the band was directed by Sharky Bonanno. And by the way, the Bienville Hotel served guests until 1960, when it was converted to offices. It's now a retirement community, known as the Tivoli Place Apartments. Before that, Henri Gendron and his Strand Roof Orchestra with No One, written by Jack Yellen and Milton Ager. Edison Diamond Disc 51534 was recorded March 23, 1925. The label credits Bud Kennedy, which may be Vernon Dalhart. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour with me listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. If you had half as much fun as I did, then I had twice as much fun as you. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.